Hare Krishna, thank you for coming on this spiritual boat ride through the Melbourne Harbour. Generally, people like boat rides because you get the feeling that you're getting away from it all for some time, for a few hours. The sea breezes are refreshing. There's something that's relaxing about bobbing on the sea, floating. In this way, you feel that all your stresses are drifting away. Looking out on the water, we can think about this universe as an ocean, what is described in the Vedic literature as Bhavasagar, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming. In this material world, things come into being constantly and things go out of being. That process of coming into being and going out of being is like an ocean. And as conditioned souls, that means as living entities who have forgotten their spiritual connection with Lord Krishna, we are stuck in the Bhavasagar, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming. It's not a very comfortable situation to be in such an ocean. It is not our constitutional position. It is not our home. Even if we asked you, please stay on this boat for many years, you would object. This is not my home. I just wanted to get away for some time. And I was told at the temple about this very nice cruise, so I came along. But if we ask you, stay here many years on this boat, you'll object. I don't belong here. There's none of my usual pleasures here that will sustain me throughout my life. But if we say, please stay in the Bhavasagar, the ocean of material existence, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming, then we say, oh, that's all right. As long as I have good material comforts, I have money, I have facility for my material pleasure, then I will stay. But what is the nature of the Bhavasagar, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming? Even if you want to stay, you cannot. Because the laws of nature, they kick us out. You must leave this body and go to your next body. You cannot stay in any situation in this world, just like you cannot stay on this boat. We have chartered this boat for, what, 5 hours? 5 hours. At 5 hours, that's it. We've got to go. Similarly, you have chartered your body for some years. And then, when it's time to go, you must go. You cannot say, oh, let me spend a few more years in this body. No, according to your past karma, when the allotted time for your life is finished, you must go. Now, you all, when this boat ride is finished, you know where you're going. You're going back to your homes, no doubt. But when this boat of the body is finished, where are you going? That is a mystery. So, we have to do some real planning, strategic planning, and reflection on what our destination is. Part of the pleasure of getting on a boat cruise like this is you don't really know where the boat is going. You can just let all your concerns and anxieties go away, and the boat will take you on its own route for 5 hours. This is relief because, so to speak, you can take your hands off the driving wheel of your life for some hours, and you can hear the Hare Krishna mantra. You can associate with like-minded persons who have an interest in spiritual subject matter. You can take prasad, So you don't mind for a few hours that you don't know where you're going. For many of you, yes? Is this the first time you're in the middle of the Melbourne Harbour? Who has been here before? Raise your hand. Okay, only a few. Only a few fortunate ones have been here before, in the middle of the Melbourne Harbour. All around you, what do you see? You see signs of recreation and commercial development. This cruise is different, however. On this cruise, we hope to inspire one another in the ultimate goal of life, how to become Krishna conscious. So this cruise is very different. In one sense, you don't know the destination of this cruise. The driver of the boat, he knows. Maybe Nityananda Priya knows the route. But you don't mind. For a few hours, I don't know where I'm going. But when you get home, you have so many definite plans, yes? Monday morning is coming. And you must be very precise about what your mission is. Yes? But what about your whole life? Where is your whole life going? And what is the mission? Think about it. We are very precise about what we're going to do tomorrow. Everyone knows, yes? Even if you are a housewife and you're staying at home and not working, still you know, tomorrow I will do this, I will do that. And most of you are working, some of you are going to school. You know exactly what you're going to be doing tomorrow. But what is the destination of our entire life? As we're going through the Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming. What will our next body be? When you get off this boat, you know what you're going to do. You're going to get into your cars, or you'll take a bus, tram, taxi. You know where you're going to go. But when this body, when the boat ride of this body is finished, what is your destination? Now, you should know that it is very common in Australia that you don't worry about these things. This is the land of no worries. And that includes no worries about what is your destination when this body is finished. And India is known throughout the world as the land where you are worried what will be your next destination. Now, which do you think is better? No worries about what your future is, or you should worry about what your future is? How many think no worries is best? Raise your hands. Just let it happen, right? Just let nature's laws act upon you, right? Yes, yes. Trust in the universe, right? It will take you wherever it's supposed to take you. And how many of you feel it's best to be concerned about what your next destination will be? Raise your hands. So most of you feel that, yes, you should be concerned about that. But let's just briefly discuss the No Worries program. Okay? All right? It's very contemporary, isn't it? Yes? You can feel that, yes, this is the cutting edge of society today. Just not worry about what your next life will be. And you should just enjoy this life as best you can, right? For the moment. Get as much money as you can. Get as much pleasure as you can. And then, if you don't hurt too many people in the process, you'll be all right in your future. Right? Or maybe there's no future, right? What do you think? Maybe there's no future. Maybe when this body is finished, everything is finished, right? Those of you who raise your hands for the No Worries program, this young lady, what do you think? When the body is finished, everything is finished, yes?
Thank you. worrying about something you don't have control over life.
Yes.
Life, you know,
life will take you its own way. Just let it happen. How many support that program? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. How many support that program? Raise your hand. Okay, this is interesting. So, how do you know what is the correct thing to do or not? How do you avoid doing activities that could bring you a very bleak and painful future in your next life? Where do you get that kind of information from? Just like this driver of this boat, he's following certain rules. He has to obey boating laws. He can't just do whatever he likes. Nor is this driver thinking, just let the waves carry the boat wherever it wants. If we told you that's the way this cruise is going to happen, how many would like that? Suppose we announce to you, now that you've all gathered here for this cruise, how many? 145 of you. We don't know exactly where we're going, but we're just letting the waves take us. We could wind up in Tasmania or New Zealand, East Timor or something. Don't worry. Just let the boat carry you. Would you all feel secure about that? No. Of course not. Say, Swamiji, we have things to do tomorrow. We must return to our house, to our flat. And besides that, it's very unsafe to just drift here and there according to the waves. We could go crashing into the piers, crashing into other boats. What about this? Look out there. See that boat? Why isn't it just come straight at us and let what happens happen? Maybe the driver of this boat is just letting, you know, the engine take him wherever it goes. Would you feel safe with all that? No, you want to see that there's a plan. You want to see that everything is proceeding in a harmonious way. But why is it that when it comes to our own life, we say that we're willing to live like that? We say like that because we don't know the benefits of living according to Krishna's plan. We think, just let the waves of nature take me wherever they want. Surely something good will happen if I don't do things that are too bad in this life. And how do you measure what is too bad? Is it how you feel about things, or is there some overall law, overall code of laws that determines what is good karma, what is bad karma? These things we should think about. So my challenge to those of you who want to sign up for the No Worries program is that, practically speaking, you will not live like that. You will object if this boat is conducted that way. Just let the waves take us wherever they want. If the waves take us and we crash into that barge there, it's okay. If the waves take us way out in the middle of the ocean, it's okay. Eh? Sometimes there'll be sun, sometimes there'll be cyclones. It's all right, yes? No, you want to be sure that we're going to be safe. Certainly, when we live our life, we want to be sure that we're making the most of our life. But how long is the life in this body for? Just a short amount of time. A few decades, and then you're gone. And where do you go? Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Dehino Sminyata Dehe Komaram Yuganam Jara Tata Dehantala Praptiya Dhirastatra Namuyate. The embodied soul, the soul within the material body, passes through youth, adulthood, old age, and then death, and then that soul takes another body. Lord Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita. So the intelligent person is concerned. What will my next body be? Some of you have purchased a flat or purchased a house. Some of you are renting a flat, renting a house. There's a lease, yes? How many of you have leases? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, when the lease is over, the landlord has the right to tell you to go, or he can sign you up again. Now, let us say that you are a newly married couple. Do we have any newly married couples here within the past 3 years? All right. Okay. Now, suppose you tell your husband that, you know, we're going to, our lease is up in 1 month. Do you know where we're going next? And your husband says, don't worry, just let it happen, we'll see. When we come to that time, the day the lease is over, we'll just see what happens. What wife here will be secure about that? No, you'll protest. You'll call your father in India. Get on this guy's case. Our lease is almost up and he has no plan where to take me, your daughter. I cannot live like this. Right? Is that what happened? So why do we say we should not be concerned what our next body will be? We know when the lease for our flat or house is going to be finished. But we don't know when the lease on this body will be finished. We can be kicked out any moment. You don't, how many of you know when your body is going to be finished? Anyone here? You don't know when the lease is going to end. So, when you do know when the lease of your flat or house is going to end, you have plans. After 2 years, when the lease is up, we're going to move to such and such a place. We're going to have enough money saved to buy a house. Yes? Isn't that the idea? We're going to invest in some property. You have plans like that. But why is it that when the lease on your body is finished, you should have no plans, no worries? Don't just let it happen. No intelligent, responsible person can live in a house or flat and not have a plan what to do when the lease is over. Especially when the landlord has told you, after this lease is up, I'm not renewing it. Any of you stayed in a flat or house like that? The landlord told you, I'm giving you a lease, but after it's finished, I don't want to rent anymore. I don't want to rent it to you anymore. That means you have to have a plan. This body, we don't even know when it's going to be finished. Shouldn't we have a plan? Real human civilization prepares the people for living not only now, but also in the future. Some of you who have children, what are you going to do when if your children say to you, we don't care about the future, just let it happen? How many of you parents will accept that from your children? Raise your hands. See, none of you will accept that. The members of the No Worries Club, you won't accept that from your children. Suppose your children tell you, just don't worry, just let it all happen. We're Australians. Don't tell us about what your grandparents believed in or what they thought. We're Australians. We want to wear our hats backwards and baggy pants. We don't care about the future. You'll say, this is not our family tradition. You should be very concerned about your studying in school. You want to get the best kind of job or open a successful business. You have to be concerned with the future. My point is that although we say we belong to the No Worries Club, actually we don't. When it comes to living life, we're very careful. So why not be fully careful and be concerned? What is your next destination? Because if your children tell you, I'm not worried what happens. Just, we'll take it day by day. You'll be very upset. Very upset. Why? Because you know you cannot be successful in life unless you have some plan and determination. Now, why should that plan and determination simply be concerned with just one life, a few decades? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that the spirit soul is traveling from one body to the next. You get a particular body according to your consciousness. Your consciousness in this life brings about the appropriate type of body in the next life. And as the young lady mentioned, there are 8,400,000 species of life, the Vedic knowledge tells us. What kind of body will you get next? It's according to your consciousness. Bhagavan Sri Krishna explains, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajante kalevaram. Whatever is your consciousness at the time of death, that will determine the next body you get. To really think about your future and prepare for the future means not just this life, but also the next life. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Jatasya hi dhruvur mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. For one who has taken birth, death is certain. And for one who has died, birth is certain. So this is the wheel of samsara, the cycle of repeated birth and death. This cycle of repeated birth and death is what is happening in the bhavasaga, the ocean of material existence. We have to be concerned. Where do we get information about what to do in this ocean of repeated birth and death? Lord Krishna gives us the most comprehensive, in-depth spiritual knowledge in the form of Bhagavad Gita. There, you find the greatest amount of precise spiritual knowledge. You'll find things in Bhagavad Gita that are in other scriptures of other religions, but you'll find lots of things in Bhagavad Gita that are found nowhere else. Because Lord Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to an audience that is far above the level of humanity today. This is the audience of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, when you hear Bhagavad Gita, you're tapping into knowledge that is far beyond the average knowledge of today. That is the advantage of taking Bhagavad Gita seriously, taking it as it is. You immediately connect to the source of all energy, the cause of all causes, Lord Krishna. Once you take information from Lord Krishna, then you can understand how to shape your life. Otherwise, who can say? This person will say it's like this, that person will say it's like that. Where do you actually get authorized knowledge? Who is an authority? Just like the man who's driving this boat. Do you trust him? How many of you know the man who's driving the boat? Raise your hands. No one. But what is it that you assume? You assume he's qualified, he's licensed, he's an authority. Therefore, no one's in anxiety right now about, wait a minute, what are we doing on this boat? Where are we going? Why don't, for those in the No Worries Club, why don't we just drift over there? What does that sign say? So what? Let's just drift over there. Let the waves take us there, yes? We'll see what happens. We can't live like that. Let's be honest. We need to know What is authorized knowledge? Where should my life be going? The greatest wealth that you can possess is spiritual knowledge. Knowledge of your spiritual identity and knowledge of the supreme spiritual identity. Then your life is truly successful. Do we really think that material prosperity will make us satisfied and happy? No. It cannot. What are we seeing today? The stress levels of people is going so high. I saw statistics that 60% of the Australian workforce, when December 31st comes, they all think, 60% think, I can't take another year. Is this the way our life is meant to be? That even though physically we're comfortable, mentally we're in such stress and anxiety that we're on the verge of breakdown. Isn't it surprising that in the most economically successful countries in the world, mental depression is becoming such a widespread social disease? Number two, next to heart disease, is now the disease of mental depression. And this is in the most prosperous countries. So an intelligent person thinks about this. What way do I want to go? Recently there was a sociological study of the effects of the internet on family life in the USA. So the researchers, they witnessed so many households, they even put video cameras in so many households to see what would happen when the father comes home from work. Now, the father comes home from work after a long day in the office or whatever, and in 60% of the cases, his children would not even say hello, because the son is on his computer, the daughter is on her computer, father comes in from work, they don't even say anything, 60% of the cases. These are statistics. And in 30% of the cases, when the father would come home from work, while the son is looking on his computer screen, he'll just say, "Hi, Dad." And the daughter will say, "Hi, Dad," but they'll just keep doing what they're doing on their computer. Only a small portion of the cases would, in a small portion of the households would the children actually just stop what they're doing on the computer and greet their father fully. And what would the father do when this happened? When they would just ignore him? Because they're so absorbed in multitasking on their computer. They're chatting at the same time, they're downloading music, and while they're downloading a big file, they're trying to do their homework. This is normal. Sociological study found this is the way it's going on. The father, he doesn't get upset about how his children are treating him. What's his number one concern? There's only two computers in this house and I can't have any time on them. My daughter's on one, my son's on the other. This is family life? But this is the kind of society your children will be facing. Now you may say, "Oh, we'll never live like this." Oh. But your children will. And how are you going to give them any higher knowledge? What are you going to teach them? What are you going to say to your children? "Just let the waves take you," wherever they take you. We must know what our purpose in life is. And in order to know what the purpose in life is, we must take knowledge from the most authorized source. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna explains the most comprehensive spiritual knowledge. You get the information straight from the source of all energies. That is the advantage of hearing from Lord Krishna. You are an individual conscious entity. Krishna is an individual conscious entity, but you are limited and Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, if you take your knowledge and information from the unlimited Krishna, then you have all the advantages. Let us think how to be successful in all aspects of our life, not just material. All around you in Australia, you can see what is the effect of simply focusing on material development with no emphasis on character development, spiritual development, inner development. You don't want your children to be like that. What will protect the future of your family? What knowledge do they need in order to survive in the Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of becoming and unbecoming? How can you tell your children not to become like everyone else? What are you going to say to them? When your children say to you, I want to drink, I'm 13, I want to bring my boyfriend home and he'll stay with me, what are you going to say? What can you say except, our family doesn't do this? You have to be able to give a solid reason with some understanding. This is right, this is wrong. Why? Because certain activities are detrimental for your material and spiritual development. How do we know? We take our information from the source of everything, Krishna. How do you know? You're just making a judgment based on your imperfect tiny senses. But if we're actually going to get the perfect vision of what to do in life, we must take our information from the ultimate source of everything. This is the standpoint of Bhagavad Gita. And this is India's greatest wealth. The greatest gift of India to the world is this spiritual knowledge. We hope that as a result of this boat ride, you'll reflect deeply on these most important points and make a plan how to gradually put them into action. We need to find out, what is my ultimate goal? What is ultimate knowledge? Is everything just relative? Everything is just temporary? What you say today will be different from what you say tomorrow. What was true yesterday is false today. What is false today will be true tomorrow. That will not help your situation. Therefore, Lord Krishna is called Tri Satya. He's truth in all three phases of time, past, present, and future. It's not that what Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita was true only thousands of years ago, but it's not true now. No. It is truth in the past, truth in the present, and truth in the future. That is real knowledge. Even you can say, this is Australia, but that was not always true. And it won't always be true in the future. Thousands of years from now, they can call this place something else. They already do in New Zealand, where I'm based. They call Australia the West Island. So, what makes you think that it's always going to be called Australia? That is relative truth. It's subject to change. But what Lord Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, that is true throughout all phases of time. Therefore, if you truly want knowledge, if you truly want a successful life, you take your information from Krishna. Then you'll know what to do for yourself. You'll know what is best for your children. Otherwise, we're just tossing on the waves of the sea. You don't want to do that. You want to be sure. This man driving the boat, he has authorized knowledge. You hear he's got a radio, that makes you feel secure. He's in touch with the land base. They're going to tell him if there's any danger. We're safe, we're protected, we're secure. There's a radio, there's life jackets, all precautions are there. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to drift. You want to be sure that the person driving this boat has knowledge. He knows what to do. He knows where he's going. What about us in our life? In the boat of our life. Where is the authorized knowledge? Where's the lifesaver? Answering these questions is the most important thing. As I travel around the world, the cutting edge field I see, it's not engineering, it's not IT, it is lifestyle management. So many people are concerned that I have money, I have luxuries, but I'm so full of stress and anxiety, I can't live anymore like this. They want to understand, how can I live life in a way that I'm not so overwhelmed by anxiety and stress? What should I do? Can you tell them, just do some deep breathing, or just go for a walk in the country, or just go for a boat ride? Does that get to the root of the problem? What do you think? If you are overwhelmed by stress and anxiety, and I tell you, just take some deep breaths, just go for a walk in the country, go for a boat ride, everything will be okay. Is that really solving your problem? No. We must understand that the root of all stress and anxiety is our misidentification of the self as the temporary body and mind. When we think, I am this body, I am this mind, then we must be in anxiety, because that is an artificial designation we've embraced. Just like if you think you are Calvin Klein shirt. How close to the truth is that? You may be wearing the Calvin Klein shirt, but it is not you. Similarly, you are wearing this body, but it is not you. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that just like you put on new clothes, and then when they're old, you discard them. Similarly, the soul puts on new bodies, and then when the body is old, the soul discards that body for a new one. This is known as transmigration of the soul, the spirit soul moving from one body to another. What is the easiest way to understand all this in-depth spiritual knowledge? You can do it by sound vibration. A certain type of sound causes you to be in illusion, and a certain type of sound can free you from illusion. Sound is so powerful. How many of you were not born in Australia? Raise your hands. Okay. Almost everyone. Also, I was not born in Australia. How did you find out what to do here? You listened. Yeah, you talked to others. What is it like in Australia? What is the best way to do? How should one behave? What habits should one take on? You got all that information as sound vibration into your ears, right? And then you molded your life in that way. Similarly, if you take your sound vibration from Krishna and mold your life in that way, then your life will be successful. It all depends, your situation all depends on whom you're hearing from. You want the best possible sound vibration to enter into your ear, because sound can lead to conditioning or illusion, and sound can lead to freedom from material existence. The reason why we have the constant chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is because that is the most effective sound for reviving your dormant or your spiritual identity that has been put to sleep. What has put it to sleep? Contact with the material energy has put the spirit self to sleep, so to speak. When you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then you are immediately connecting to Krishna. The Hare Krishna mantra is like an alarm clock that wakes you up. How many of you tomorrow morning will wake up to an alarm clock? Raise your hands, please. Yes. You're asleep, dreaming or in deep sleep. The only thing that brings you out of that is your alarm clock. It's sound that wakes you up. So the spiritual alarm clock, that is the Hare Krishna mantra. It wakes you up from the dream of material life, the deep slumber of material illusion, in which you think, I am this body. I'll just enjoy this body as much as I can. I'll make as much money as I can. I'll give some to my family. And that'll be it. I'll leave some behind for my children. And then I'll die very peacefully in my sleep. That'll be life. What do you think? Is this the kind of life you want? No. This is not culture. This is not civilization. So how should life be then? Should we just throw out Dharma, throw out all religious principles, throw out all moral standards? Do the Australians look happy that they've done that? Huh? Do you want your children to grow up like that? So what are you going to tell them? Where is the knowledge that you're going to give them about the superior lifestyle? What are you going to say? Simply, don't do what all your friends do because you can have one of those soon. Just think. Will you be happy then? So, what are you going to say to your children that will make a difference? What are you going to say to yourself that will make a difference? What is real knowledge of how to live? That should be our quest. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains what we need to do in order to make our life spiritually successful and have a balanced material life also. It's not that what I'm telling you about is only for the sannyasis, only for the sadhus, only for the brahmacharis. No. Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who is a family man and a military man. He wasn't a brahmana. He wasn't a brahmachari. He was married with children. And he had an occupation as a military person, administrator. How do you balance your material life with your spiritual life? You take your information from Krishna. How to fulfill your material needs, your legitimate material needs, while putting your energy in the most important area of becoming Krishna conscious, spiritually enlightened. So this is my appeal to you all. So please make the best use of your short life. Don't just drift. It's very popular these days just to drift, I know it. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that for your children. Just like many of you have very firm career plans, yes? How many of you have very precise career plans? Raise your hands. Yes, of course. You want to rise the corporate ladder. Yes. You want to increase your income. You want the business to grow. Very precise plans you have. How many of you have very precise plans about your spiritual development? Raise your hands. Less. So we need to balance these two things. And then you can actually leave a proper inheritance behind for your children. Show them by your example how to balance the material and the spiritual. The fact is, the material will not make you happy. If it did, why aren't the Australians trembling with ecstasy? Huh? Obviously, materialism didn't do it. Do you ever think about that? I think you do. So let us not repeat the same mistakes. Let us find out definitive spiritual knowledge. Let us hear from Lord Krishna and apply that knowledge in our life. Simply, if you hear the Hare Krishna mantra and vibrate it, your spiritual life can begin. And then we have so many books to give you knowledge of what you're doing. Not sentiment, not religious belief, not folk tales or mythology, but the best spiritual scientific knowledge. All right. Thank you for listening. Do you have any questions?
Does material growth and spiritual growth, do they become in conflict with each other? Like, if a person wants to grow a lot materially and develop a lot, like, does it imply that the spiritual growth will suffer or vice versa?
No, you have to know the art of balancing your material needs and your spiritual needs. Of the two, the spiritual needs are more important. The body is temporary, but the soul is eternal. So, you have this body, you have to take care of it. But it's not the most important thing. You can be successful in your material career, and at the same time, you can practice Krishna consciousness very intensely. But you don't want to take on so much material duties and obligations that you have no time for your spiritual life. That is the point. For example, you're a married man, or you will be in the future? Now you are a married man? Okay. Should you simply work hard and never speak to your wife? Is your wife here now? Yeah. How would you like it? He works, 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 and never talks to you. Huh? Right. But suppose he says, like many men will say, I'm just doing all this for you. I'm working 7 days a week, never coming home. I'm getting all the money just for you. Will you accept that? Okay. So he has to balance. He has to work. And he has to have time for speaking to the wife. So what is the great mystery about balancing your Krishna conscious development, your spiritual development, and your material obligations? It's the same principle. You know, if you don't talk to your wife, life gets a little miserable, right? Yeah, is it so? Similarly, you should also know, if you don't have your Krishna conscious spiritual practices, your life will also become even more miserable. That's all. You're studying in school, or you're working now? Yeah. Have you given up eating? Why not? It takes up time. If you didn't eat, you'd have more time for your job, yes? No, you cannot give up eating, because then you can't live. Similarly, you cannot give up your spiritual nourishment. Otherwise, you cannot live. There's a time for everything. So I'm not asking you to become like me. I'm a specialist. Every field has its specialists. But you can apply Krishna consciousness in your own life, in your own home, and you'll be very successful. Okay? Anyone else? Yes? When the transformation of the soul takes place, and the soul passes from one body to another body, based on your consciousness, the soul gets another body. Yes, Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, but the way that you started, that the soul is taking the new body, that body, like, you know, how long, like, where is the duration of the, like, you know, how long is the body going to live, like, you know, for 60 years or for 70 years?
Your next body.
Yes.
He wants to know how long your next body will live.
Yeah, I mean, the way that you started, like, you decided that based on your consciousness, you're going to get a new body, but how long is that?
It depends. He wants to know how long the next body will be. How long it will live. It depends on what body you take. There are some insects in Australia that, what, they're born at night and dead by the time morning comes. It just depends on what kind of body you have. How much time do you, he's asking, even if you get a human body in your next life, it is not certain how long that human body will live. How long do you think that your human body is going to live in this lifetime? Huh? You don't know. So that means what you're saying is that any moment death can kick you out, yes? So what is your plan about that? Huh? You must have a plan. You can be kicked out of your flat at any moment by a very cruel landlord. He hasn't even, he's rented you a flat, but and he hasn't even told you what the terms are. You can be kicked out any time. Very delicate situation, yes? We should do something about that. We should get real knowledge. Take knowledge from Lord Krishna how to handle this precarious situation. Huh?
When I was very young, I was told that it's given like every body is given a certain number of breaths. And then this soul, you know, this soul, you know, takes place. I was thinking, like, how is it, like, you know, what is it happening? That this soul, with this thing in
another
body, is given that much number of
death. Whether you measure the duration of your body by breaths or otherwise, still, the end will come. Recently, I was speaking in Cape Town, South Africa. I was addressing students at the University of Cape Town, which is a very, it's a very nice university, palm trees, the cream of South Africa goes there. Now everyone is allowed to attend the educational institutions, the Indians, the Africans, the European Africans, everyone can go. So, I was speaking to the cream of the youth on campus, and in the audience were some students from Botswana, which is a country north of South Africa. They were obviously well-to-do, they were very educated, very cultured. They were asking nice questions, just like you're asking nice questions. All of you are asking nice questions. So I invited them, after speaking at the university, I invited them, please come to our Krishna Conscious Center and we'll discuss more. They were very happy to come. Before they arrived that evening, I decided, let me find out something about Botswana. I know nothing about it. How many of you know something about Botswana? Maybe some of you have relatives there? Right. Anyone else? You don't know. You do? Really? Botswana is a Commonwealth country. Okay. All right. Thank you. So, I was looking up the statistics for Botswana. Small country, less than 2 million people. The main economy is from animal slaughter, raising cattle, killing the cattle for beef. Then I looked at, you know, what is the average life expectancy? I was shocked. 32 years. So when these students, who were wealthy, educated, cultured, when they came to visit me in the evening, I said to them, you have to take this Krishna consciousness very seriously because according to your national statistics, you can expect to live only about 10 more years. You're 21, 22 now. According to the statistics, you have 10 more years left to your lifespan. And you know, they looked at me and said, yeah, we know. We know. That is the national average. So I explained to them, you have to take very seriously this chance to hear what Krishna is giving in Bhagavad Gita. Hear this most comprehensive scientific spiritual knowledge. You don't have much time to play around. So there's an example of a human body, but the national average for life expectancy is 32. So even you can get a human body, again, there's no guarantee that you'll live 75 years. Therefore, as soon as you find out about Bhagavad Gita, how to apply it, you do that. You apply it in your life because you don't know when you'll be chased out of this body and have to take another. But things are not just about fear, although fear is good. Just like if you are not in the safety of this boat, you'll be afraid to be out here in the ocean. How many of you swim well enough that if we just put you in the water right now, you'd make it to shore? Raise your hand. About 10% of you. So you would, unless the boat is very safe, you'll have fear. Similarly, unless we're properly situated in our spiritual life, we should have fear of material existence. But fear is not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is pleasure. What Krishna is teaching you in Bhagavad Gita is about the highest pleasure. The highest pleasure is not material. We are all pleasure-seeking because we're part of Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Because Krishna is the supreme pleasure seeker, we have that propensity in ourselves. But we're foolishly trying to satisfy that propensity in the world of matter and material arrangements. That's the big mistake. The whole purpose of Krishna's yoga teachings in Bhagavad Gita is to get you to turn your attention back to the proper place for getting pleasure. Anything else? Yes.
When the soul is getting created.
When the soul is getting created. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that na jayate mriyate va kadachin. For the soul, there's never birth or death. It never comes into being or goes out of being. You are eternal. Krishna is eternal, but you're the tiny eternal, and Krishna is the unlimited eternal. This is a common question. Population in many countries was very less, now is very high. And so where did all the souls come from? They came from other bodies, other planets. Why do you take this earth as all in all? There are only a tiny amount of human beings on this planet compared to the insect species or the plant species. As long as you are in material existence, because of material consciousness, you must take another body. For one who has died, birth is certain. For one who has taken birth, death is certain. How do you get out of the whole cycle? That is why we're having this boat ride. To invite you out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. To do that, you don't have to become a monk, become a sannyasi, and just drop your jobs, drop your family. No. You can do this at home. You can prepare yourself for the best spiritual future, now and later, in your own home, by applying the principles of Krishna consciousness. Remember, Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, spoke Bhagavad Gita to a family man, to a working man. He purposely did that, so you wouldn't have any excuses. Yes?
What does it mean to be spiritual?
Very good point. He's asking, what does it mean to be spiritual? We've heard so much people say, what are some of the things you've heard about being spiritual? In Australia here.
Well, we don't know. I mean, what I heard about this following the path of self-realization. And I've studied natural theory. Well, unless you reach the basic, that means the mother, that means quite satisfactory, like the basic needs, the security needs and other things. The highest level of the hierarchy is self-realization.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk of self-realization through achieving self-realization through spirituality, and I think that's the
Okay, so you're talking about with Abraham Maslow?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says first on the hierarchy, the lowest level is your material needs. You've also studied, yes? Okay, so what are those material needs? All right, do you have food? Do you have food? Stand up, let us see. Do you look malnutrition? He looks okay. He's doing okay, yes? You've got food. Do you have shelter? All right. Do you have clothes? So what other material needs do you need met? Huh? No, no, let's talk about Abraham Maslow and the basic material needs. You brought his name up. All right, but you brought his name up, so I'm asking, do you have those basic material needs, as he said? Okay, okay. It's no big deal, in other words. You already have it. And you're just a young man. How old are you? 29, and you have food, clothing, and shelter. It's not such a big deal, then, for you. Therefore, now you can spend your time to go to the top of the hierarchy. Right? Okay. Wonderful. Congratulations. I agree with you. This is what you should do. You've solved the food problem, the shelter problem, the clothing problem. Right? Now go to the top. Okay? Anyone else? I'm glad that you all are thinking very deeply about these points. Those are very wonderful questions that you all asked. So, Nityananda Priya, what do we have next?
We'll be serving prasadam, but we are serving at 2 points. There are three ways placed.
No, 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 just let it happen. Some may get, some may not get. Don't worry, right?